Good morning. We want to welcome you to our services this morning. We trust that you will be blessed and encouraged and strengthened through the Word of God today. I want to highlight a couple of announcements that you find in the bulletin, and I want to add a few more to them. Tonight, we have the privilege of having Chuck Broad with us. Chuck has been a long-time part of our church mission family. His wife, Judy, will not be able to be with him this evening, but we look forward to a good time with Chuck and hearing a little bit more about what goes on in Nigeria. And we hear a lot about Nigeria in the news and some difficult things that take place even in the lives of believers. So we want to come and hear Chuck tonight and some of the things that are going on in Africa. Immediately following the service this evening, there will be an Ed Team meeting. Roger would like to meet with all of the teachers from high school on down, from the teeny weenies on up to high school, go over some things. And so we encourage you to, right after you get your food this evening, to go and to meet with Roger back in one of the classrooms in the new wing back there. And to put on your calendar, next Saturday morning, there will be a men's breakfast, and there's going to be a new focus. So we do encourage you to, gentlemen, think about coming. We encourage you. It's a good ministry and an encouraging time, and it will be good for you. And so we do encourage you to put it on your calendar. Turn your alarm clock on, wake your wife up when you get up, whatever. But we do encourage you to come. And then right after the men's breakfast, which is at 7 o'clock, there will be an opportunity for you to get involved in a economics discussion. Mike is going to talk about some of the things he teaches in economics, and I know with all of the uncertainty that exists with economics, the things that maybe you read in the newspaper each week, Mike will he'll fill you in on everything you need to know. Right, Mike? Good. So, encourage you to think about that. Well, in the life of a church, we have joyous times, we have difficult times, and this last week was a joyous time for Jerry and Luvilla. They greeted the arrival of a new grandson into their family, Benny Oren Hines III. That's a big name to live up to. But we rejoice with Benny and Jennifer Hines. Jennifer is the daughter of Jerry and Luvilla, and so when you see Jerry and you see that he's walking about 10 feet above the ground, you'll know the reason for that. But also, it's a difficult time. On February 10th, Donna Whittle lost her mother, Dorothy Mathias, and we extend our very sincere sympathy condolences to Donna and Dean and ask you to pray for them. But also this week, most of you and perhaps all of you know of the passing of Bernie. And this next week, there will be a visitation on Monday evening from 5 to 9 p.m. at Cisco Funeral Home. And then on Tuesday afternoon, there will also be a memorial service at 2 o'clock here at the church. And right after the service, there will be some refreshment, some pie, and, of course, coffee. And come and join the family, be with them during this very difficult time of mourning. And we do, as a church body, want to pray for John, pray for Bernie, pray for the family, and very difficult time. But it's also a time of rejoicing for us as a body of believers. And we'll talk about some of those things in just a little bit. So if you take your hymnals and Chris will come and he will lead us this morning in our worship.
If you'll stand together, turn to number 6. We want to begin this morning with Sing Praise to God Who Reigns Above. It's number 6. Lord, we give you praise this morning because you do reign above as the all-powerful creator and sustainer of the universe. Lord, we also give you praise for the way that you work personally in our lives. As we just sang, you are a healing balm and an ever-present help in our time of grief. Guard us today from faithless murmuring and from bitter thoughts. And remind us of your great sacrificial love for us. Lead us, we pray. Amen. And if you'll turn to number 224. We'd like to continue with Jesus Lives and So Shall I, number 224. They're going to play through the whole song once for us.
Let's begin with a word of prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus is our hope and our trust. That in life nor death, nothing can sever us from the love of our Savior. Thank you, Father, that you have appointed your Son to be our payment for sin. And now, Father, I ask that you would quiet hearts, that you would give us minds to think, to look at even this week and all that has taken place and use it to sober us toward the reality of eternity. And as we think of death and the reality of it, we celebrate this morning your answer to death. To remember our Savior who provided life through his shed blood and broken body for us. Help us, Father, to think about what was done in our behalf today, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been an extremely difficult week for the life of this church body. It's always hard when we lose somebody who is such a part of us. But we rejoice. Bernie now has the culmination of what she hoped for. Bernie now enjoys everything that a believer places his trust in, eternal life. She is with the Lord Jesus in the presence of her Savior. But it's the rest of us I want to talk to today. And as I look at this room, it may sound harsh, but I'm looking at a room full of dying people. Every one of us will go the course of mankind. Every one of us one day will face the gates of eternity. Death is never convenient. Just never works out right, does it? Never at the right time. But for a Christian, we count on hope. We dread the thought of a loved one being gone. But this last week, as we spent hours sitting in a hospital, and we saw many of you and appreciate your support, I really felt compelled to share this morning a couple of verses of Scripture that kept going through my mind. Verses of Scripture that made me think about life and about death. Throughout those hours, one of those verses is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. It's better to go into the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that's the end of all mankind. And the living will lay it to heart. The second scripture is in Psalm chapter 90. It says, "Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." And you see the connection. Both of those verses are telling those of us who live, you need to think about your life. You need to think about the fact of death. You need to be an evaluator of what happens. They teach that principle that we need to contemplate death and the course of our lives. And I know that these words are a little bit of a cliche, but it doesn't mean they're not true, that every one of us are not guaranteed life beyond today. There's not one of us that are assured of life continuing beyond right now. We talk about death being a tragedy for a young person, but it's just as much a tragedy for an old person. Time is relative. Age is relative. Death has a sting. It's called our enemy. And no matter how old or how young we are, we truly are on a path of all mankind. The context of that passage in Psalm 90 talks about the shortness, really, of life in relationship to the eternality of God, an everlasting God. And I want to read just a few verses, beginning in verse 9, says, "For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, maybe 80. Yet the span is but toil and trouble. They're soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you?" So that verse, "Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." Our enemy is death. But when we carefully evaluate the course of every human being, that starts us on a path of wisdom. That starts us to think correctly. Many of us here this morning recognize that in this communion table, we have the foil to death, or the answer to death. What we remember is there is an answer provided for eternal death. The blood of Jesus Christ was spilt on the cross, shed, and it's represented in that cup. The body which was broken for sinners, represented in this cracker, this wafer. Jesus Christ provided the answer to death. And in this room, there are, I'm sure, people who have heard this same thing many, many times. You've heard it, you've been here perhaps many times for communion services, and you've heard these same types of things. Every month we partake of these elements. But every time we take of them, the Bible tells us we do show the Lord's death until He comes. What we do here is, in essence, an evangelism time as well. It's a visible reminder to everybody here that there had to be a payment for death, for sin. The reality is that each person here deserves death. Each one of us has to understand as well, it will come. It will happen. The death sentence will be carried out. Age is relative. And those words may sound, and I hope not, but they may sound a little bit harsh for a communion service. We talk about communion being a celebration, and it is. But it also had better be a time of clear evaluation. Where are you before Jesus Christ? Some of you are here today, and you need to come to Jesus today. Some of you here have heard these things, and you need to find the answer in Jesus Christ for death. And the only thing I can say is, please come to the Savior today. Please look to the Savior for your life. But the words apply to Christians too. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. How are you numbering your days, believer? What do you occupy yourself with? How are you living before the Lord? I want to do something a little bit different. We don't do it perhaps very often. But before the men come forward to serve you with the bread and the cup, I want to take a moment and give you some time today to think about life and death. Give you some time to think about what the Savior has done on the cross for sinners. Time for you to reflect and maybe collect your thoughts and maybe talk to the Lord if you need to and see if there's anything in your life that you haven't numbered your days very well. And so Leslie's going to play for just a few moments and just take this time, and then I'll have the men come forward. Here at Fellowship Bible Church, we practice open communion. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we invite you to participate with us in this table. But if perhaps you don't understand this, don't understand what Jesus Christ has done, if you have not yet placed your trust, your faith in Jesus Christ, we just encourage you to let these elements pass by and think about what has been said today. Would the men please come forward?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, again, we do thank and praise you for the salvation that you have given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this emblem of his broken body, which was broken for us there on the cross. And Lord, we thank you for this reminder of this so great salvation you have provided for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Scriptures tell us that Jesus took bread, And after he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Just do it in remembrance of him.
Father God, we're thankful for Jesus shedding his blood, for without blood there's no remission of sins, and we're grateful for him making that for us, that we can just come thanking you and blessing you for that. And as we partake, we ask that you would just really bring that to us in a real meaningful way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Likewise, Jesus took the cup after supper, and he said, "This is the cup was poured out for you for a new covenant in my blood. Let's partake of it in remembrance of him."
If you'll take your hymnals again and turn to number 52. Stand as we sing, "O God, our help in ages past," number 52. be seated. Turn to the back of your hymnals, number 685. We're going to read responsively number 685, so I'll start and you respond with the bold print. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. In these you once walked when you lived in them. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Hear therefore, be a Jew or Jew, circumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. And turn to number 409, I know whom I have believed. You can stay seated for number 409. take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy. Mike is going to come and read our scripture for the day.
I'll be reading the first 14 verses of the first chapter, 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father of Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, and without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of our own tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are faithful. I'm thankful that we can and do know in whom we have believed. And may we, like Paul, not be ashamed of the gospel. Thank you that through Jesus Christ you have abolished death. I just pray now for this time that you'll bless Steve as he preaches, and that you'll bless us as we hear and listen. And we commit this time to you who are able. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We'll go ahead and let the young people be dismissed for junior church at this time. While they are making their way out, would you turn with me in your Bibles to that passage that Mike read, 2 Timothy chapter 1. This morning, I want to begin to briefly take you through the book of 2 Timothy over the next few weeks. I want to spend some time with one of my favorite books of the New Testament. Maybe I'm being a little bit selfish, but that's my nature. I've always appreciated what Paul said to Timothy. While it's going to be impossible to go verse by verse in just a short time yet, I appreciate so very much the words that Paul gave, because he was taking a young man in ministry and highlighting some things that are very important in the life of a man of God. It was an old man writing to one who he called a beloved son, and I think as you compare passages in Scripture, he was his best friend. And has many practical instructions on how it is that a Christian is to keep walking faithfully, serving the Lord throughout his days. So before we look into it, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, once again, we ask of you to quiet hearts, to prepare us to hear what you are saying to us. I would ask that in some way, whether it be through the word which is read, through something maybe that's said, somehow, Father, use your word in each life to challenge us, to transform us, to encourage us, to help us to be faithful men and women before you. Help us to keep these instructions in our mind that we may walk closely with our Savior. Bless our time today in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Paul's swan song. And if you knew that your death was very imminent, what would be your message to your children, to your husband or your wife, to the people in your Bible study, to the people you pray for? What is it that you would say? How would you encourage them to walk with the Lord Jesus throughout the years ahead? What would you say? What would you instill in their lives? What kind of passion, what kind of motivation would you direct into the lives of those you love? Timothy was very close to Paul. He had the same heart. And he wanted him, before he was to go, to understand some things that were going to fit him, prepare him for the days that were coming up. And so while Second Timothy, a very personal letter, it's packed with some practical help in maintaining, for all of us, for maintaining our walk with the Lord, our faithful commitment to Him. And whether it's times at ease or whether it's some very difficult times that you're going to face, because we all do, how do you faithfully walk with the Lord? How do you serve Him with your whole heart and soul and mind? So the truths that really are in Timothy, they really apply to every one of us. and how we can be men and women of God, children of God. Some of you are older, have walked with the Lord for maybe a very long time. How do you keep from letting things like apathy, discouragement, hard times, the pressures that come from just living in this world, how do you keep those things from crowding out your relationship with the Lord? Or maybe you, if you're very young in the Lord, haven't had all those years to walk with the Lord Jesus, how do you protect yourself? How do you protect your spiritual life? Well, 2 Timothy, from what we know about Timothy and other places in Scripture, we find some things about Timothy that he was having a hard time. His place of ministry, his job, if you will, was in Ephesus. Things weren't going well. He was sick. The end of 1 Timothy tells you that. He had people that were opposing what he was teaching. You had a situation where he was having to endure a lot of criticism. Just things were hard. And Paul understood that. As a matter of fact, as verse 4 tells you, that there were a lot of tears that were shed when Paul had left him the last time. And so in all of this, he's thinking back in Paul and or Timothy, and he's thinking back to his life and knowing what he's enduring. He says, Timothy, let me encourage you. Let me give you some things that are going to help you in your life. He was assaulted by just a lot of pressure and difficulty. So the letter opens, as many letters do, with just a fairly common greeting. And then verse 3 gets into the real body of the letter. And you come across in this passage quite a number of encouragements for us in the Christian life, ways that we are to think about life, ways that can encourage us. He wants Timothy to be encouraged, first of all, into knowing that he's being prayed for. He said, night and day, every day, Timothy, I pray for you. I pray for the pressures you have. I pray that God would strengthen your weary hands, keep you from discouragement, help you to serve Him, help you to overlook criticism. Just I pray for you night and day. And I truly believe one of the greatest ministries that exists in this church body, and you may not know it, but you're being prayed for. You're being prayed for. And of course, you know, the illnesses and the travels and all of that, certainly we do. But you know, people are praying for the decisions you make. People are praying for your relationship with your children, your husbands, your wives. People are praying in this body of believers. And I hope it encourages you. I hope it strengthens you that, yes, we can continue. We can go on. Because people are praying. People are encouraging us, praying for your decisions, praying for you in the challenges you have at life, praying for you young people when you go to school. People pray. This body of believers prays. What an encouragement to know that. Have a ministry. I trust that it encourages you and helps you that, hey, if people are praying for me, I ought to be living faithfully and ought to be making wise decisions in life. But secondly, he said, Timothy, I want to encourage you and I ask you, remember who you are. I pray for you, but I am reminded you have a very sincere faith. It's the same kind of faith that was in your grandmother, in your mother. And I am sure that faith, it dwells in you. He said, Timothy, remember who you are. And I can say the same thing. Christian, remember who you are. Remember your faith. That's the reason he could hand over a ministry to Timothy. He was sure of what was in him. Be what you are. You have a sincere and you have a true faith. Now I encourage you, don't despair. Don't despair. When you're attacked by sin and temptations, remember who you are. Your faith sustains you. He said it was a faith you learned as a young man. And every one of us, at some point in time, we've been greatly influenced by people. Every one of us, Bernie, John, others, people influence us. He said, Timothy, you remember the influence you had in life? Walk with the Lord. Continue to serve Him. Act according to how you've been told you ought to live. True, influence can be used, misused, manipulate, so forth, but it's very positive. I remember when I was a very young man, my father one day took me aside, and I think I was probably in trouble or something, but he said, Steve, you remember your name, Bartholomew? It means something. Very old name, and I don't remember everything he said. But he said, what are you going to do with your name? How are you going to bear that name you have? What are you going to do with it? Most of you probably bear the name Christian here. What do you do with that name? How do you bear that name? What's true of your life? What have you learned from your spiritual parents? What have you learned from other Christians? And are you living that way? And that's the very basis why Paul can say to Timothy, hey, I give you this information. I tell you these things. I exhort you because you have a very sincere faith. And for that reason, he gives him an illustration. And the illustration, he says, is, for that reason, because of your faith, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Faith is not a lifeless set of beliefs. Faith is something that can wax and wane. It can grow and it can become cold. And that's why Paul says, Timothy, fan into flame that gift that was in you. And he uses a Greek word that has the idea of rekindling a fire. And what happens is, a fire, as you all know, it can go down. And you can start to see the coals and maybe they glow for a while. But sooner or later, the fire can go out unless it's rekindled. A couple of weeks ago, for those of us who were without the privilege of a generator, we had fires going. And my household, we had one as well in the fireplace. And my kids would sleep in the living room. And it was interesting. A couple of times a night, you could hear this thud. And what it was a log being thrown on the fire because the fire had begun to die down. And we always knew it was getting a little bit chilly in the living room when the fire would be stoked again, when it would be fanned back into flame. And you see the principle? A fire requires constant care. A fire has to be built up. A fire has to be stirred up in our lives. faith needs to be maintained. It's important. Many people begin very strong. Start out with a fervor, and a fire can lessen. Cares of the world, adversity, busyness of life can crowd out a commitment to Jesus Christ. He says, Timothy, keep fresh your commitment to walk and to minister as a faithful man of God. And as I thought about it, I thought about a parable Jesus gave, and you all know it very well, parable of the soil. You remember the seed, which is the Word of God, the man planted, he threw out that seed, and some of the seed immediately was eaten by the birds. And other seed began to grow, but the soil was poor soil. And so when the sun came up and it got hot during the day, pretty soon that plant wilted and it died. Other seed, Jesus said, it fell on the side of the path. And what happened is it grew up among the thorn bushes. And pretty soon it was just choked out. And then the fourth seed, of course, falls on good soil and produces fruit. And Jesus went on to explain that the soil represents lives of people. Maybe even here. Lives of people. And some here this morning, the things that are said, the things about communion, just falls on deaf ears. And the reason is, Jesus' explanation is, Satan just takes it away, takes that good seed away before it can produce a root system. Other seed falls beside the wayside and it's choked out. He said some people, they receive it with joy initially. Right off, it starts off and it seems like it's pretty good. Looks really good. But what happens is tribulations, persecution, just hard life. The pressures of life that every one of us know choke it out. Produces nothing. Others, he said, they have a root system. It starts to grow, but the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, choke it out. And then thankfully, many, the seed is growing and it's producing. He said, Timothy, fan the flame. Keep the flame going in your life. And maybe you've been a Christian for many years, perhaps very active in serving the Lord, sharing your faith, building the Word of God in the lives of people. Was there a time when Jesus Christ was your treasure, your love? Jesus said, there will be a day in which the love of many will grow cold. I think Paul saw in Timothy a strong man of God, and so he warns him against allowing life and the pressures of it and the intensity of what he was doing. He said, I'm warning you, Timothy, just keep it alive. Keep it alive. It's fairly common, and many people you read say, well, Timothy was weak. He was about to throw it all away. Timid person. His faith was dying out. But I believe, just the opposite. I think Timothy was a strong man of God. And all that Paul was doing was saying, hey, let me just give you some good advice. Don't let it die out. Just because people are encouraged by someone doesn't mean they're failing. It can mean they're being encouraged to continue on despite any kind of pressure that comes on. The verb form that we find here indicates that it's something that has to be done again and again. It's a continuous action verb. He said, Timothy, keep stoking. Keep fanning that flame back up. Don't let it die down. And that leads to a third encouragement in our lives. You can't do it yourself. He said, fan into flame the gift of God. which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. Got to depend on the work of the Spirit within you. Otherwise, we're just human beings. We have a very special gift. And every one of us, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, you have been given the gift of the indwelling Spirit of God. He abides in every believer. It's a gift, special gift. He abides in us and He convicts us of sin and He teaches us and He exalts the Savior, and those are some of His ministries. But He also gives, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians and 1 Peter, teaches us that each believer has been given a gift or gifts. So the word is charisma. Grace gifts. Gifts that have been given, and some of them have to do with teaching and preaching. Others have to do with ministering and helping or encouraging and giving and many other things such as that. But those grace gifts are for not self, but the good of the body, to encourage and build up and strengthen the body. And every one of you who are believers have been given gifts to help, to minister, to bless, to be a blessing and encouragement to one another. And so Paul is telling Timothy that God, the Holy Spirit, has gifted you, Timothy. He has prepared you for a life of service, a life of ministry. And he said, and you can compare it to 1 Timothy, I and the elders, we laid hands not to give you the gift, but it's through that laying on of hands, it's an affirmation. It's a confirmation that God has truly blessed you and prepared you for a ministry. We don't know all the particulars, but he need to be reminded to keep stoking that fire of ministry. Somebody said, every Christian needs to be reminded that no matter however small a task they're called to perform, that God has prepared us for it, whatever it is. God has blessed us. God has prepared us for service. I think Timothy was a man like we are. He had discouragements. He had job difficulties. He had pressures. Opposition of people around him. Cruel things. Paul said, Timothy, remember the Spirit that abides in you. Remember, I pray for you. You remember who you are. But also remember, you have been prepared. You have been gifted. And in this body, you have been gifted. And therefore, we can serve the Lord, he said, with power. We're not given a spirit of fear, timidity. That's not the spirit that we've been given. We've been given a spirit of power. He rests on us through the Word of God. And the aim of that power is not that you control other people, but you help them. How else? Where else in the world do you see the kind of help and support that you have from believers? Strength. We serve the Lord with love. Biblical love is concerned for spiritual well-being of one another here. Love for others gives you a boldness to overcome so that you can speak truth. You can speak the right things. 1 John 3 says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And we serve with self-control. The word occurs only here in the New Testament. Discipline. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And the nuance of the word, it controls your life. Self-control. So that now, as you minister wisely. If you're given gifts that have to do with speaking, the self-control, the wisdom comes in knowing what to say, knowing how to say it, knowing when to say, knowing when not to say things. That comes from the Spirit. It gives us discipline to be wise. In serving, we know how to be disciplined and self-controlled so that we don't just support the wrong things and help the wrong things. In giving, we're careful, prayerful in what situations and circumstances to give to. So in all of this, and there are much more we could say, he said, Timothy, you're saved, and you're saved to serve. You're saved to serve. He's gifted you to serve. You've got to serve him. You've got to develop. You've got to rekindle. Don't let it die out. Be passionate about Jesus Christ and service for him. When you think of one another, do you remind them you're praying for them? Do you remind them of who they are? Do you remind them that, hey, you're gifted. You're blessed to serve. What's the reminder? Paul gave Timothy reminders. We do too. We help one another. Do you remind one another of your position before God? Do you remind them that, hey, even despite suffering, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he is able to keep what I've committed unto him until that day. What a blessing to be part of a body of believers. We have a ministry. Serve the Lord with gladness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that in just this short time, you will remind us to not become apathetic, to not ignore your injunctions, but to be passionate about you and caring and ministering to one another within the body. Thank you for this time in the Word and the reminders today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and take your hymnals and turn with us to 375, Jesus Calls Us.
Number 375. From your word today, and we just pray that you would, through your Spirit, just Help us to apply the words to our lives, to be an encouragement for us. And we just pray that you would fan the flame in our lives, that we could be better followers, more obedient for you and for your glory. We pray this in your name. Amen.